I'm starting a new series this morning entitled The Power of the Holy Spirit. That's the name of the series, and that is the name of today's message, The Power of the Holy Spirit. About a week ago, I felt the Spirit of God talking to me to start a new series. Chris, I'll often preach 6 to up to 12 messages in a series. We just did God Cares, and it was only about 4 or 6 messages in that series. And I questioned it and really asked the Lord, is this you that I'm hearing? And I can assure you today that God just confirmed to me in so many ways that he wants me to start this series on the Holy Spirit. In this church, I want you to appreciate something. You know, you could go online and you can go to sermon.com, and there's so many places a preacher can pull out sermons. In fact, I've been preaching for over 40 years, okay? I've preached seminars, conferences, done Bible colleges in the Solomon Islands, in Great Britain, Bible colleges here, Bible colleges in Australia. I could pull so many messages out from my reserves. Every Sunday, I wait on God and I say, God, what is your message that you want to say to your church today? And I thank God he has always been faithful and has always given me his word. Are you ready for God's word? The power of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit isn't talked about enough. In this church, we do talk about him. We move in the Holy Spirit. But in general, most Christians don't really understand the role of God's Holy Spirit. He is not a stuffed mannequin. He is not the white elephant in the room that's never addressed. He is the third person of the Trinity. And when you read Scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament, the Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit moves. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be excited. The Holy Spirit thinks. He reasons. He is the third person. He's alive. He's active. He is part of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son. Look at me for a moment. The world says that you are body, soul, and mind, or body, soul, and emotion, or body, soul, and spirit. The Bible says the opposite. You are first a spirit. You are first a spirit. Satan has designed a system to get us to live from the body rather than from living from the spirit. Because when we live from the spirit, there is a deep connection with God, and we will hear from the spirit and see from the spirit. You see, Jesus said to the Pharisees, they got all caught up in religion. And so they had all these rules and regulations, and instead of it being spirit to spirit, it became head knowledge. For example, one time a Samaritan woman recognized that Jesus was a prophet, and she said, hey, settle the debate. Us Samaritans think that we should worship God at the mountain, and you Jews think that God should be worshiped down in Jerusalem. Let's have the verdict. You just read my life, told me everything about my life. You're obviously a prophet. Who's right? And Jesus said, you Samaritans worship what you don't know. Your head knowledge is wrong. The Jews worship what they know out of their head knowledge. But the day is coming and soon will be where the true worshipers will worship God from their spirit. It is so important to understand that you are primarily a spiritual being. It is very important. One of Satan's great strategies was to get Adam and Eve. We understand they fell, but what was their fall? Rather than being spirit people listening to the Spirit of God and the Word of God, They were enticed by food that they could see that was pleasing to the eye, pleasing to the stomach, and it was powerful to give them mental increased knowledge. And what the enemy did was he took them from being spiritual beings to being natural beings. When we live from our flesh, we live from trouble. But when we live from our spirit, we will always be in step with the Spirit of God. You see, the Spirit is the unseen part of us, but honestly, it's the most important part of you. It is the part that has deep communication with God, and it's the part that God communicates to. But we are so used to living from the flesh that our mind is so full of natural things and natural arguments and natural belief systems that our physical mind literally becomes an obstacle to hearing the Spirit of God talking to our spirit. Now, God has a solution. He didn't just come to save us from our sins. He came to turn us back into spirit people who have a soul and who have a body. How many of you want to start living more and more from your spirit? With your soul in obedience and your body in agreement. Amen? Absolutely. And so we're going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. Very interesting, Angelica. Jesus often said, and he repeated an attitude or comments from prophets in the Old Testament. He said to the Pharisees, he said to the people, you have ears, but you don't hear. Now, when there were people who were deaf, Jesus healed them, and they heard in the natural. He wasn't talking about natural hearing. He said, you have ears, but you don't hear. You see, just like the Holy Spirit thinks and reasons and speaks and has emotion, so does your spirit. The real you is your spirit. But often the last heard part of you is your spirit. People often will hear from our soul. When we're angry, the soul is speaking. When we have bitterness, the soul is speaking. When we and wince because a situation is similar to something that happened in our childhood that caused a trauma, our soul is speaking. God wants us to become, as part of this new creation, a spirit man, a person who learns to put his mind and his emotions subject to the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus said to his people, he came for the lost sheep of Israel, and he said, you have ears, but you don't hear. You have eyes, but you don't see. The Spirit of God hears, the Spirit of God speaks, and the Spirit of God sees. And the Spirit that God has in you, your spirit, has the ability to hear things that your natural ears can't hear. It has the ability to see things that your natural eyes can't see. How many of you have ever heard stories of near-death experiences or life-after-death experiences where a person dies on the table and they come out and they see what the surgeons are doing and even hear what they're talking about? How many of you have ever heard such stories? The spirit lives. The body dies. When a person is dying, their vision starts to fade, their hearing starts to fade, because the natural attributes are dying with the physical body, but as they leave their body, the spirit still sees, the spirit still hears, and the spirit still understands. So your spirit was created like God's spirit. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and it's you, spirit, your soul, and your physical body. How many of you want to start living from your spirit more and more? I want to tell you that is where you will have the most success. That's where you will have the most joy. That's where you will have more victories than anything. That's where the supernatural life really kicks in. I don't want to just live a natural life touched occasionally by God. I want to live a natural life influenced completely by a supernatural God. Can I get an agreement here this morning? Amen. Turn to somebody and tell them, buckle up. We're about to take off. He's on a good start. And I guarantee he's going to have a good finish. All right, are you with me, church? Here we go. The first point I want to make is Jesus was full of the power of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't just full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of the power of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 4, verse 14, the scenario is this. The Holy Spirit spoke to Jesus, and his spiritual ears heard the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go on a fast 40 days. When the Holy Spirit says that to me, I turn my volume down. I have to turn it up more. He says, I want you to go into the desert. You're going to have a face-to-face with Satan. I'll be with you. When Satan said, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to turn into bread and eat. Jesus didn't do what Adam did. The first Adam was told, you can eat from all the trees, don't eat from this one tree. The first Adam disobeyed God's voice. Watch. Who told Jesus to fast? God. The Holy Spirit said, go on a fast. Satan says, eat, you're hungry. And he refused to obey the voice of the demonic. He refused to let his flesh, his body, be number one. He refused to let his body dictate to him. I don't know if you've ever fasted 40 days, but even if you fast a week, mentally, emotionally, you start to feel a little bit of strain and a little bit of weakness. Even physically, you will. Jesus didn't listen to his mind and he didn't listen to his emotions. I'm sure Jesus in his soul was thinking, yeah, I could turn that into a really nice Italian loaf of bread. Fresh baked. But he didn't. Why? He didn't want to live from his flesh. He didn't want to live from his soul. He wanted to live from his spirit. Okay? When he finished the temptations and he won, he was victorious, he conquered the enemy. The Bible says, as he was leaving, watch, Luke chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. See, Jesus didn't just return with the Holy Spirit. He returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. Here, let me show you where I'm going. I'm going to read another verse. Acts chapter 10, verse 37 to 38. And Peter is speaking here and he says to the crowd, you all know what happened here in Judea. It all started in Galilee after John the Baptist came preaching water baptism. Now, let me stop for a second. We got a night of worship on Good Friday. Easter's coming. Good Friday, we're having a night of worship here. And during the night of worship, we have the water baptismal tank set up. And we're going to be baptizing people like we often do during the night of worship on Good Friday. If you're an adult and you have never been baptized in water as an adult, please see Pastor Donna. We already have 15 people getting baptized on Good Friday. Okay? So I encourage you, if you have never been baptized and put under the water as an adult, even if you were baptized as a baby, we're not trying to take that away. That's a lovely thing. But scripturally, adults repented and chose to be baptized in water. Are you hearing me? Okay? So I don't care what, you know, whether you're Catholic, whatever, people get very defensive. Listen, if you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart, that's what saves you. A church will not save you. Baptism as an infant into a church will not save you. It might make your mommy and daddy feel good, but scripturally, it doesn't have power to save you, okay? When we come to Jesus and we let him in our life, that's what saves us. Even water baptism as an adult does not save us. It is a public testimony that we are not ashamed of Jesus and we are declaring, I am a follower of him and I will die with him, be buried in the waters of baptism, and I will rise again with him. Come on, if you believe that, give him a hand. But enough of that. Peter is saying, you know what happened here in Judea. It started in Galilee after John preached his water baptism, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Everyone, look at me for a moment. I want to twist your brain a little bit. I want to play with you a little bit. I want to stretch your thinking for a moment. We all know that Jesus Christ is God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing that was created without him, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. He was the light of the world. Can I get a yes?
Yes.
I want you to see something. Though Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, in Philippians, it says he emptied himself of deity. He became 100% man. Why does God, the Father, have to anoint Jesus Christ, the Son, with the Holy Ghost and power if Jesus is God? He is God. But in Philippians, it said he put his divinity aside, and everything he did as a man. He came as the last Adam to pick up the battle where the first Adam lost it. He came to win back the ground that was lost, and he being the last Adam, he is the model of who we become when we are born again into Jesus Christ. Every one of us are descendants of the first Adam. I don't care what color you are. Every one of us are descendants of the first Adam. And the first Adam represents the man who failed. But the last Adam represents the Son of God who overcame. And the same way we were born into the first Adam, we are now born again. That's the whole reason Jesus said, you must be born again. Until you're born again, you think like the first Adam, you smell like the first Adam, you act like the first Adam, and you will fail like the first Adam. But when you are born again into Jesus Christ, you start to become like the last Adam. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. So here he is. He came to model what we are supposed to look like. What we would have looked like if the first Adam never fell. And so here's Jesus. God anoints Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went around everywhere destroying the power of the enemy and healing people and setting them free. So if Jesus came to model the last Adam and what we're meant to look like, and God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power, if he's the model, if he's the prototype, if you and I are meant to be in the image of Christ, like Paul says, we are the icon of Christ, mirror representations of Christ, then just like the last Adam, God wants to anoint this Adam with the Holy Spirit and power. Turn to somebody and say, that's pretty cool. I'm getting this. Thank you, Russ. You often encourage me. Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate your boldness. Thank you for saying it. Power. The Holy Spirit and power. The Greek word is dunamis. It says ability. It says power. It says strength. But it's not talking about human ability or human strength or human power. This isn't human ability. It isn't human power. It isn't human strength. If it's the dunamis, the power of the Holy Ghost, it's the ability of God's Spirit, it's the power of God's Spirit, and it's the strength of God's Spirit. How many of you can agree that if it's the Holy Spirit's ability, it's going to be far greater than your natural ability? How many of you agree if it's the power of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be far greater than your power? How many of you agree if it's the strength of the Holy Ghost, it's going to be far beyond anything you can do as a natural human being? Can I get an agreement? You see, in the church, we love to quote Zechariah the prophet, and we say, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. God's saying, not by man's ingenuity, not by man's wisdom, not by man's ability, not by man's power, but by my Spirit. We love to say that. We quote that over and over again, but guess what? So many churches today deny that the power of the Holy Spirit will work through human vessels. God said, not by your human ability, not by your human reason, or your logic, or your rationale, or your genius, by my Spirit. And so Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Somebody say, good preaching, Pastor Rom. You guys are getting a bonus. Extra Dunkin' Donuts for you. People want to experience the Holy Spirit without the supernatural. Everything about the Holy Spirit is supernatural. You cannot separate the power from the Holy Spirit. He's not the Holy Whoosh. He's not the Holy Wind. He's the Holy Spirit who brings the manifestation of God's power. Everyone look at me for a second. Whether you're reading the Old Testament, do you know that the gifts of the Spirit were in operation in the Old Testament? The gifts of the Spirit are healing. The gifts of the Spirit are miraculous things. The gift of the Spirit is prophesying. The gift of the Spirit is discernment. The gift of the Spirit is wisdom. Solomon moved in wisdom. The prophets moved in wisdom. The prophets moved in discernment. They knew what the enemy was going to do. The prophets got words of knowledge and knew what an opposing king was planning. That's a word of knowledge. Jesus had it all the time. But people that are dead in theology want to twist the word of God and teach you that the gifts and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost through human vessels no longer happens today. And I want to tell you, that is not congruent with what the Word of God has to say. The same God yesterday in the Old Testament is the same God that was in the Gospels, and He's the same God that's in the Church of Jesus Christ today. Come on! Prophets saw in the Spirit. They knew what kings were going to do. They knew what kings had done. They prophesied in the future. They had the wisdom of God. Solomon had the wisdom of God. If the old covenant came with glory and with fanfare and with miraculous things, Paul says, how much more this new covenant comes with greater glory. So many people think that the Holy Spirit is a dove, and they get a little pin, and they pin Him on their collar, and that's, I've got the Holy Ghost. And while I'm trying to make that a little humorous, in a sense, really, in many circles, we have reduced the Holy Spirit to this white elephant who hangs around us. But you can't lay hands on the sick, because that's not for today. You can't prophesy, because the Holy Ghost doesn't do that anymore. I want you to understand, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, every time the Holy Spirit of God showed up, He always did something supernatural. From the beginning of creation, the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. And when the Son of God, the Word, spoke what was on the Father's checklist, the Holy Spirit created it. From the Old Testament, through all the prophets, through all the miraculous things that would happen, it was the Holy Spirit showing up. And then in the New Testament, God anoints Jesus, the last Adam, with the Holy Spirit. Not a badge. He anoints Him with the Holy Spirit and with power. How many of you want to live more from your spirit and less from your flesh? Come on. This message is so important. The reason why so many theologically poo-poo and bash the idea of the Holy Spirit working through human flesh is because the devil knows if the Holy Spirit starts working through us on a regular basis, our lives will become the supernatural manifestation of God's presence. He had a migraine. Satan had a migraine with one Christ, full of the Holy Ghost. In his wildest imagination, while he was inspiring the arms of the Roman soldiers to pound the nails into the feet and the hands of Jesus Christ, he thought he was winning a victory. Never, never, ever in his darkest, most decrepit imagination did he realize that as he was sacrificing the last Adam, he was allowing the prodigy of a whole new race to be born and brought into being. Because if anyone is in Christ, behold, the old is gone, the new has come. We are a new creation. The devil has filled the church with the ideology, we are sinners saved by grace. Hallelujah, I'm a sinner. I got saved. Listen to me. God's plan of salvation was not to rescue you from the kingdom of darkness only so that demons can't beat you up, chew you up, spit you up, and throw you up. He rescued you from the kingdom of darkness. He washed you with the blood of the Lamb so that you become a son. But He didn't do that so that you get a ticket. You know, sometimes when I go to the butcher or the fish market, I got to pull a ticket. And when they call my number, I finally get served. And that's how the gospel's been preached. You get born again, you get saved, you get a number. And when the roll is called up yonder, we get to go to heaven. No! God's plan of salvation was to undo everything the first Adam messed up, and he brought the last Adam, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, to be the title holder. He holds the title, and we come in under his wings, and we live in victory and power because of Jesus Christ. God didn't just save you from your sins. He took you out of the kingdom of darkness, and he made you sons of God, a kingdom of kings and priests. That's what the Bible says. The church keeps talking about, well, I'm a sinner saved by grace. The Bible says you are a kingdom of kings and priests. You know what priests do? They prophesy. You know what priests do? They see in the spirit. You know what priests do? They hear the voice of the Spirit of God. We have allowed the devil to take out of the church one of the most important ingredients, and that is the active participation of the Holy Spirit in our day-to-day lives. Now, somebody give me an amen. I'm preaching so that we turn that around. Kathy, as naturally as Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, so are you. So are you. So are you. Have you ever prayed about a situation and you didn't know what the answer was, and it's like, God, I don't know what's going on. It's driving me nuts. Okay. The Holy Spirit comes to give us discernment. Can you use discernment sometimes? Okay. In the natural, do you always have discernment? No. Could he use discernment sometimes? When it's your birthday and he forgets, can he use discernment? When he buys you the same gift he bought you last year, can he use some discernment? Wisdom, do you ever need wisdom? It's a gift from the Holy Spirit. I want to go beyond what Rob Scarallo can conjure up. I want to tap into the most creative genius in the universe. Paul says, for we have the mind of Jesus Christ. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit to tap into God kind of wisdom. You see, these gifts aren't just for the evangelistic crusade. They're not just for the service. How many wives can agree that your husbands need the gift of discernment and the gift of wisdom? And how many agree that your wife needs the fruit of the Spirit, grace and mercy? Put your hands up. That's good to see. The men are as willing to put their hands up as the women. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, I've totally gone off my notes, almost going, where is he? Where is he? He's flying under the radar. I don't know what he's preaching now. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit, he comes as a dove. There are nine fruit, nine main feathers on a dove's wing. So this wing, he brings the character of God. How many of you want your loved one to only have one of the fruit of the Spirit? I want him to have love. Okay, he gets love, but he doesn't get patience. He doesn't get kindness. What good is that? Do you want your husband, Ron, to have all the fruit of the Spirit? Do you want your wife to have all the fruit of the Spirit? Right? If she got baptized, you know what the word baptize, it comes from the Greek word. It was actually used in the garment industry. And this is true. It's the word baptizo comes from the garment industry back in the day. And what they would do you know this? You speak Greek, do you know this?
No.
Okay, so they would take a garment and baptize it. Let me take this here for a moment. They would baptize it in a dye. They would submerse it, and when the dye entered every part of the fabric, and now the garment, which was maybe wool's goat's wool, hair or sheep's wool, now it's dyed, it's baptized, and the color of the dye goes through and through. The concept of baptism is that we get dyed in the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit isn't going to just give you one fruit. He wants you to develop in all the fruit of His Spirit, because that represents the character of God. How many of you could say, yeah, that makes sense? So then why is it when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, His other wing with nine feathers, there are nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they represent the power of God. Oh, no, we don't have the gifts. So the Holy Spirit doesn't fly anymore. He just pecks on the ground and hobbles on the ground. No. The whole idea of saving man and bringing him back to what he was meant to be is reinstating him back into the image of God. And so we're going to be back into the image of God. We're going to have the character of God and the power of God. And so God takes pleasure in taking the last Adam, Jesus Christ, and anointing him with the Holy Spirit, and he baptizes him, he dyes him in all of the Holy Ghost. You and I have access to see in the Spirit through the Holy Spirit of God, to hear in the Spirit, to get a word of knowledge, information. How many of you would like information that you don't have? Especially if it would change your circumstances or solve a major problem. How many of you would like to have information you don't have? That's what the word of knowledge is. God downloads supernaturally into your spirit information. I think if I pick up my notes, I don't even know how to catch up to where I'm supposed to be.
Thank you for bringing truth.
You're welcome. God anointed Jesus. Watch this. Next bullet point, Omar. Jesus tells us to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke 24:49. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke. He's a doctor. He says this is the last few moments of Jesus. And he says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. Stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. You can't separate the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. They're one. Just like you cannot take the character of God away from the Holy Spirit, you can't take the power of God away from the Holy Spirit. And yet, the devil loves it when churches preach that, yes, get the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but the gifts, they're not for today. Hello? They were operating in the Old Testament. How much more, if the Old Testament came with glory and power, Paul says, how much more the New Testament comes with greater power and greater glory. Can I get an agreement? In Acts chapter 1, Luke wrote Acts. So we go from his last statements, Jesus' last statements in the book of Luke, Jesus' first statements in the book of Acts. Opening and closing statements. They're always powerful. His opening statement in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5 and verse 8. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. John has baptized in water, but in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. If you want to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you better get ready for the supernatural. If a husband and a wife get married and the husband always talks and the wife gets quieter and quieter and she wilts like a lily and nobody ever sees her or really hears from her and she loses her personality, is that a healthy marriage? Is that a healthy relationship? No. In God's economy, the husband should bring the best out of the wife and the wife should bring the best out of the husband. And in our relationship with the Holy Ghost, if we only ever manifest natural things, the Holy Spirit has been silenced. He's become quiet. He's become the wilted, withering lily. You see, Brian, the gifts of the Spirit aren't just for your pastor, they're for you. How many men do you have working under you from time to time? 15? That's a lot of men. Are you called to be a witness to them? Would it be helpful to you if one of your men is not producing and not performing suddenly? He's acting weird, acting strange. Would it be helpful to you if God downloads some pre-known knowledge to you about why they're hurting, what their hurt is, and how you can address it? Would that be helpful to you? You see, we take the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we want it just for the evangelist or the apostle. No, Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and don't leave until you receive the Holy Spirit and power. It is for your everyday life. The enemy had you under his feet. Now Jesus has the enemy under his feet, and you and I are sitting inside the body of Jesus Christ. You are meant to have a supernatural edge over the world and a supernatural edge over the kingdom of darkness. You see, the Bible says that God has made you more than a conqueror. Why not? Why more than a conqueror? Why not just a conqueror? A conqueror conquers, right? Why does the Bible exaggerate? Why does it embellish? Why does, is this superfluous? Why the more than a conqueror? You know why? Because your enemy is a conqueror. He has conquered millions. God makes you more than a conqueror. He doesn't make you equal to your enemy, and it's going to be a blood fest punch out till one drops to the ground. No. You are a representative of heaven. He didn't make you equal to the task. He made you superior to the task. That's right. He made you more than a conqueror. And the Holy Spirit gives us supernatural gifts and abilities so that we can get a word of wisdom, a word of discernment, a word of knowledge, what the enemy's trying to do. We can get a prophecy and prophesy, okay, this is what God's going to do, and he's going to do this, and he's going to bless me, and he's going to circumvent all the strategies that the enemy has against me. You see, church, you're not just a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner. You are saved by grace. But now you've been stamped into the image, the icon of Jesus Christ. Like the Greek word icon, you are meant to be a mirror-like representation of him. Why? Because Jesus came to undo what the first Adam screwed up. He came as the last Adam, and Jesus Christ reproduces after his kind. You must be born again in him because you and I are meant to be full of the Holy Spirit and do everything Jesus did. Oh, by the way, didn't Jesus say, and you will do the things I did and greater? It all fits, folks. It all fits. Diabolical theology. Let me look at the camera because this is on YouTube. Diabolical theology wants to tell you that we live in a dispensation called cessationism, where the gifts and the work of the Holy Spirit through human vessels has stopped. And I want to tell you that that is a lie from the pit of hell, because the enemy wants to level the odds so that he has a chance of maybe winning. I want to tell you, God made you more than a conqueror, because the enemy doesn't have a chance, in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen? I'm running out of time. Do you know that Pentecost is the Greek word for Shavuot, the Hebrew word? The Hebrew word Shavuot is the feast, festival of feasts, and the festival of first fruits. In Greek, we read it in the New Testament, written Greek, it's written Pentecost. 50 days. Penti means 50. 50 days after the Passover, they celebrated first fruits in Hebrew ceremony and religious practice. When Moses took the people of Israel, the Hebrew people, out of Egypt, he told them, take your favorite pet lamb without a blemish. I want you to sacrifice it. Everyone in your family must eat the flesh of the lamb. Take the blood and put it over the doorpost. And when the supernatural spirit of death comes over Egypt, he will see the blood of an innocent lamb and he will pass over. That was symbolic of Jesus, the Lamb of God, shedding his blood. And we put his blood over our lives when we ask Jesus to come into our hearts. And what it means is the kingdom of darkness has to pass over. It has no power or rule or reign or jurisdiction over your life. Now, Shavuot, 50 days from that Passover, Moses the next day took them out of Egypt. And 50 days later, they're at the foot of Mount Sinai, the giving of the law. So Pentecost in the Old Testament, in Hebrew, Shavuot, is also associated with the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. When God gave the law, he told Moses, bring the people around. I'm going to come down on the mountain and I'm going to speak to you. And God came down, and Omar, I've jumped ahead, but I want you to come to in Exodus chapter 19. We have the story in Exodus chapter 19. And at Shavuot, 50 days after the Passover, they're at Mount Sinai in the wilderness, and God comes down on the mountain. There was a sound of a trumpet from heaven, lightning, thunder, billows of smoke, fire came down on the mountain, and God spoke to the people. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, 50 days after Jesus was crucified, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, or in Hebrew, Shavuot, the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Well, there's a similarity. Lightning, thunder, a rushing mighty wind. Tongues of fire hovered over everyone's head, and the people spoke by God's Holy Spirit. You see, in the Old Testament, on Pentecost or Shavuot, the Spirit of God came down and God gave them the law. On the day of Pentecost, God gave them the first fruits after Jesus was crucified. We receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, God spoke to the people and the fire was on the mountain. In the New Testament, God puts the fire of tongues on the people and the people speak by the power of God. Come on, church. What's interesting in this parallel, the Shavuot or the Pentecost after the Passover, when they came out of Egypt, The similarities is this. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 18 to 19, this is what it says. When the people saw the thunder, and they saw the lightning, and they heard the trumpet, and they saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear, and they stayed at a distance. Many people are afraid of what the Holy Spirit can do because they can't control it. They don't understand it. What we don't understand, we want to at least be able to control. They don't understand it, they can't control it, so they run away from it. And the people stood at a distance and said to Moses, "You speak to us yourself, we'll listen. Don't have God speak to us or we'll die." Guess what happened? Moses spoke to them on God's behalf and that whole generation died. The very thing they said, "You talk to us, we're afraid to die. If we come into God's power, if we come into that holy mountain, if we get too close to the supernatural, we can't understand it. We're afraid. We got to be able to control it. But since we can't, you be the man, and then you come and talk to us. Otherwise, we'll die." And every one of them died and did not enter into the promised land. History repeats itself. You know why? Human nature hasn't changed. And demons haven't changed. And so today, we read Pentecost, mighty rushing wind, fire, tongues. Have you ever seen an ox's tongue in the supermarket? Man, if you think I can wag a tongue, an ox's tongue is like this. Why tongues? Why on fire? Because it was God's intention. In the Old Testament, God wanted to speak and they were afraid of him. In the New Testament, we are washed in the blood of Jesus. They were only by a token washed in the blood of bulls and goats. The blood of bulls and goats can't take away your sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he went into the Holy of Holies. He took his blood and he spread out that sacrifice. And for the first time in human history, mankind was actually cleansed of sin. And now the Holy Spirit of God could come inside a human vessel. Yeah! In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon them, came upon them, came upon them. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit came inside them. Because the blood was finally shed and brought into the Holy of Holies. And our sins were not removed by a token of the blood of bulls and goats. It was removed by the real thing. Today, what people can't understand, they're afraid of, because I can't control it. And the enemy has used the same strategy with the church today, just like he did with the Hebrew people in that day. We can put our nose up and laugh at all the mistakes of the Hebrew people. The church makes all the same mistakes today. Don't let arrogance deceive you. It's a demon. The Bible tells us that everything that is written is for our edification, to correct us and teach us so that we don't make the same mistakes. And that church, the Hebrew church, was afraid of the supernatural. And they took a step back and they said, "You know what, Moses, this is too much for us. We don't want to be where the mountain's on fire. We don't want to be where the mountain is shaken. We don't want to be where God comes down in his presence. We don't want to be where there is smoke and thunder and lightning. We would rather get God secondhand." When God wanted to give them the privilege of coming to the mountain. Watch this here. Moses repeats this story. He's reiterating it to the people. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, let me prove it to you. Verse 4 to 5, Moses is talking and he is reiterating to them what had taken place in the past. And he says, "The Lord spoke to you face to face out of the fire on the mountain." Verse 5. At that time, I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord, because you were afraid of the fire and did not want to go up the mountain. You know how many people want the Holy Spirit to stay in a nice little box? You know how many churches want the Holy Spirit to be a little dove so that they could pin him on their collar? You know how many people want to hear God through their preacher? God wants you to hear him through his Spirit living in your spirit, so that you have spiritual ears that hear and spiritual eyes that see. God doesn't want you to have a second-hand relationship. He wants you to have a first-hand relationship. What the natural mind can't conceive, it can't handle. What the natural mind can't understand, it's afraid of. Just look in everyday life. The things we don't understand, we get afraid of. We get paranoid. We get itchy. We get ugly. And the enemy counts on that. And church, I want to tell you that God is looking for a church that's not afraid to come to the mountain. God's looking for a people who aren't afraid to go to the fire. On the day of Pentecost in the New Testament, parallel, now this time, the fire comes on a vision of a tongue, your tongue, standing on your head. And now instead of God speaking from the mountain, God's saying, no, I'm going to speak from your mouth and from your spirit. And from your mouth, I will prophesy. From your spirit, you will dream dreams that are messages from me. You will see visions. What is a vision? It's seeing with your spiritual eyes into the realm of God. We have become comfortable with Jesus on a cross and, yes, resurrected, but let's not have too much of that holy-roly stuff. Let's not have too much of this weird stuff. I want just enough of God and the Holy Spirit to be a gentle comforter. How's he ever going to be the gentle comforter if you don't allow him to be who he is and you silence his power? The Holy Spirit can only be who he is if we stop being afraid and say, come, Holy Spirit, fill me, dye me in who you are. I want to allow the gifts of your spirit to flow through me. I want your holy prayer language of tongues to flow through me. Look at me. Next week, I'm going to preach a message entitled, Why We Speak in Tongues and Why the Devil Doesn't Want You to Speak in Tongues. I'll give you scripture after scripture, but I'm also going to tell you a very scary story and a funny story all at the same time, okay? I was 15 years old. We had just come back from Australia. We were having revival in Australia. My brother was 18 years old. We were at a big conference in a hotel, and there was this young girl who was a backslidden Christian, and my brother was preaching to her or ministering to her, encouraging her. She was in our hotel room, dumb. As we start to pray for her, a demon manifests. She starts twirling on the ground and sliding like a snake and growling at us. My brother, the older one, decided in his wisdom he would be the one to go and find a pastor and leave his younger brother with the girl who's spiraling like a snake and growling and hissing and cursing. And so I did the only thing I knew how to do. I started to pray in tongues. And that devil opened his eyes, and I'm not telling you today what he said to me. I will tell you next week. I swear to you before my father, he looked at me and he said something. I'm going to share it with you next week. But next week from Scripture, I will show you why it is so important for us to pray in tongues and why the devil doesn't want you to pray in tongues. You can never separate the Holy Spirit from the supernatural. You can never separate the Holy Spirit from the power of God. And if you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and the supernatural never happens, you have become partner to someone that you have taken away his identity and his voice, and he has lost his expression. Good preaching, Pastor Rob. I'm going to close with this. I was here since the prayer meeting Saturday morning. We finished about 10:30. I was here all day. I left for maybe 20 minutes twice. Had to go home and do something. I left here at 2:45 in the morning today. I got in bed at 3 a.m. All day, I waited on God and I prayed and I said, I can't get the message. What is it you want me to tell the people? And at midnight, it finally broke. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit started downloading stuff, and I'm getting excited. I was here till 2:45. In the first service, as I'm preaching, suddenly something dawned on me. How many of you remember about 3 weeks ago, I told you God, while I was waking up early in the morning, half awake, half asleep, the Spirit of God brought a specific verse before me in the series I preached, God, the God Who Cares. And he showed me how Jesus was moved with compassion that the multitudes would go home and some might faint. And so he did a supernatural miracle. He increased the bread and the fish. How many of you remember? Give me a wave. Okay, I'm glad people listen. That's awesome. All right. It dawned on me as I was preaching this morning. I said to you as a church, I said prophetically, God is telling me to tell you as a church to stop believing only for healings and start believing for miraculous things. Broaden your imagination and give God a larger platform so that he could come down and show his glory in many ways. How many of you remember that? And as I'm preaching this message this morning and wondering why the Holy Ghost had me switch series, I only preached about 4 in the last series. I always preach 6 to 12. And it dawned on me this morning, you know what this message is about? Getting rid of religious thinking and human fear, so that our minds will open up and give God a greater platform so that the Holy Spirit will have voice in us and start to move in us and through us through supernatural gifts. And I thought, wow. He blindsided me again. He told me to preach a new series, and I thought that was gone. And suddenly this is all about getting the congregation to build a bigger platform for God to show up on. Yeah. We're going somewhere, church, and the Holy Spirit is leading us. I want to encourage you. We're going to stand. I know I went a little bit longer. Do you forgive me? Was it worth it? Did you like the parallel of Pentecost in the Old Testament and Pentecost in the New Testament? Powerful. And so many churches are afraid and they want to walk away from that mountain. No, I want to walk towards the mountain. Come on, church, let's walk to it. Let's walk into the Holy Spirit and allow him to fill us with the supernatural gifts of God. Now listen to me. If you have never prayed in tongues, where's Paul and Beth? Both Paul and Beth move in the prophetic in this church. Their gift has been tested. We have acknowledged them as prophets in this church. They teach a class on the Holy Spirit. Today, right after this service, you will hear from them for about 15 minutes. You will hear a video from me. I'm going to help you step by step how to break loose and get your prayer language. And we have people like Pastor Jan are going to be there and other leaders to lay hands on you and take you step by step. If you have never prayed in tongues, I encourage you today. They have lunch in there, okay? We might have to see the first miracle and multiply the food. But we purposely got extra food. I encourage you after the service to go in that room and to hear just a little bit more and to expect that you'll come out of that room having prayed in tongues, your own supernatural prayer language. Do you know, I pray with my mind. I pray what I think. God doesn't always think what I think. But when I pray in my prayer language, the Holy Spirit prays through me exactly what God wants me to pray for. I have prayers that hit and miss. But when I pray in tongues, every prayer hits because I'm not praying from my mind. I'm praying from the Spirit of God. Amen. If you want to really start stepping into God's extra, if you want the whole kit and caboodle, don't be afraid of the mountain that's on fire. Don't be afraid of tongues on fire. Don't be afraid of the supernatural. Hey, can I let you in on a secret? God isn't natural. He's supernatural. And if you're going to have a relationship with someone who's supernatural, and you're natural and they're supernatural, then sometimes natural things will happen, but sometimes supernatural things better happen too. Or it's a one-sided relationship. I'm going to invite you. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to pray, and I want you to repeat it if you choose to. I will never force you. But I'm going to pray a prayer that welcomes the Holy Spirit to have more influence in our personal lives. I'm going to pray a prayer that says, "Come, Holy Spirit, and I want the fullness of who you are. I want the character and I want the power of God because you put me here to push back the gates of hell and to be the light and the salt." How many of you are willing to pray a prayer like that with me right now? Would you close your eyes? Repeat after me, "Dear Holy Spirit, I welcome you. I need you and I want you." And the same way you were with Jesus, and you anointed him with power. He is the firstborn of many brethren. I'm one of the brethren. Holy Spirit, anoint me with power. I give you permission to go beyond my human limitations. Holy Spirit, I want you to have freedom in my life and freedom in our church. Holy Spirit, let the gifts of God's Spirit flow in me. Amen. Now listen, listen. And I'm going to say this for YouTube's sake. I'm going to say it for your sake. If you grew up under the teaching that says, "Well, this stuff isn't for today," God says he wants to pour out his Spirit on every generation. The prophet Joel prophesied in the Old Testament. Peter picks it up on the day of Pentecost. He repeats it. Acts 2:17-18. "In the last days," God says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy." Wait a minute. Last days and prophecy. They're telling you, prophecy's not for today. Make up your mind. Are we in the last days or not? Because if we're in the last days, then prophecy is for today. And Joel said it, and Peter's picking it up right after all these people are talking in tongues, 3,000 folk get saved, and Peter's explaining, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men dream dreams. By the way, I still see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Interesting. He pours out his spirit, and supernatural things happen. You cannot separate the power of the Spirit from the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, same chapter, few verses down, 38 to 39. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That's water baptism. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And the people that teach cessationism, they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. They also believe that you don't choose to get saved. God chooses who gets saved. And so they emphasize, unless God calls you, unless God wants you to get saved, he might want you to go to hell. But unless God wants you to get saved, you can't get saved. That verse says, and on all whom the Lord will call. How many of you in this room are saved? Put your hand up. He said, on all whom the Lord will call, they will prophesy. And they will dream dreams and have visions. So friend, you have to decide two things. Are we in the last days? If Peter quoted this right after the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, that had to be the last days. If that was the last days, are these the last days? He said it'll happen in the last days, church. He said he will pour his spirit out on everyone he calls. Are you saved, Catherine? I know you are, sweetheart. This is for you, your grandchildren. This is for our sons and our daughters. Why do people try to take the power of the Holy Spirit out of the Holy Spirit? Don't mess with the image of God. He is who he says he is. And he wants to be who he is in your life. Amen. So I encourage you, if you've never prayed, gotten a prayer language, join Paul and Beth and some of the other leaders of the church. Next week, I'm going to teach on why we pray in tongues, scripturally, what it does, and why the devil hates it. And I'll tell you what that demon said to my face when I started praying in tongues. We have just prayed and let the Holy Spirit come in. If you have never asked Jesus to come into your heart, close your eyes. Everyone, close your eyes. If you have never asked Jesus in your heart, that's where it all starts. Young man, young lady, dad, mom, it all starts with surrendering to Jesus Christ. If you've never asked him in your heart, ask him today. Ask him today. This is the God who cares. If you've never said, Jesus, come into my life and live in me from today forward, if you're not sure whether or not you're born again, come on, while eyes are closed, raise your hand right now. Come on, raise your hand. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. You can put your hand down. There's a hand over here. Thank you, up the back. God bless you. I appreciate it. A young man down the front here, a little boy. Thank you. Awesome. Who else wants to say yes to the God who cares? You want to know that God is in you, Jesus lives in you. Those of you who raise your hand and those of you who already have done this, I want you, I'm going to pray a prayer. I want you to repeat after me. All we're going to do is like we did with the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask Jesus to come in and live inside our lives. So if you raise your hand, this whole congregation is going to start to pray the same prayer. I want you to pray it. No one will know that you put your hand up. Everyone, repeat after me. Dear God, I receive Jesus Christ. I believe he is God in the flesh. I believe he died on that cross. He paid the price for all of my screw-ups, for all of my mess-ups, for all of my sin. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me enough to die for me. I want to ask you, Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my life from this day forward. I want you to live in me, and I want you to lead. Lead me. Show me how to live. Forgive me of all my sins. I accept your grace today. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer and coming into my life today. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, really, I'd love for you to get baptized in water. Every Sunday after church, we feed you a free lunch for 7 weeks. Then you're out on your own. And we take you through 7 very important lessons. Anyone can join this class today if you've not prayed in tongues. But if you've recently asked Jesus in your heart, I want to encourage you, come back. We'll feed you. Join the class. We give you a Bible. We give you a Bible cover. It's really a beautiful cover. You get that when you graduate. When you get baptized in water, you get a brand new t-shirt that says Raise to Life. We give you your study guide. We give you pamphlets. It's easy. $75 retail value. That's irrelevant. We just give it. We give it. Because I believe in the gospel of the kingdom of God. Church, your money goes to good use. We sow it back into the kingdom to win people for Jesus. How many of you are happy 3 people said yes to Jesus? Come on. Fantastic. Awesome. 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 All right, guys. You've been so excellent participating with me today. Thank you for letting me go a little longer today. Thank you. Was it worth it? All right. Come on, turn around, give someone a hug, give them a high five, give them an air hug, whatever. Shake them up, say good day. Love on them in Jesus' name. Amen.